The Fred Allen Show, specially rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies. Here are Fred Allen, Portland Hoffa, the Mighty Allen Art Players, Hi-Lo, Jack and the Dame, and Al Goodman, his chorus and orchestra.
Takes you in tow. Just try the promise. You can do it, I know. So rise and shine. Stand up and take it. Rise and shine. I've got to make it. If room so tall should get you as he soon does. Shout hi, ho, ho, and do just handsome moonbirds. Rise and shine. Don't be a martyr. Time. Around the corner, show how to shine it. There's nothing to it, you can do it. Like the sun, rise and shine.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear Jack Benny's program tonight?
No, I missed it tonight.
Mr. Benny said that his grandfather was writing jokes on our program. This is one of the jokes his grandfather wrote. It was hardly worth the trouble of translating it from the time his grandfather wrote. Well, I don't, poor old Jason out there in Washington. I don't go for horses or nightlife, Jimmy.
Say, speaking of nightlife, Fred, have you seen that this 30% tax has been ruining the nightclub business?
Oh, business is terrible, Jimmy. I looked in one nightclub, the bartender was crying.
Oh, he was lonesome?
No, he had mixed a Mickey, and there was no one in there to give it to, the poor fellow. The band was playing, the waiters were dancing with each other, and the bouncer was keeping in practice, throwing himself in and out of the place. It looked very bad in there. I would
Mr.
say...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, Jesus. Well, Portland, did you have rice for dinner? You're puffing.
It's been...
You put the business in, the puffing business.
It's been hot this week.
Yeah, it sure has.
It was so hot Thursday, I saw a soldier.
Uh-huh.
His dog tag had distemper.
His dog tag? Yes, it certainly was hot. I saw an army officer the other afternoon walking up and down Broadway for over an hour.
Why?
He was making privates salute him so he could get a little breeze from the army. But apart, that's the trouble. You know, Thursday it's warm, you write a lot of hot jokes, then it rains all day today, so the hot jokes... But apart from... We should come here with no thing and nothing on the paper at all. We'd be much better off. At least you could wrap something in it when we were through it. Apart from the heat, what's new, Portland?
Did you read about the triplets?
Oh, you mean the triplets who were born here in New York this past week?
Yes. The mother named them Eeny, Meeny, and Miney.
No Mo?
No, there were only three.
Well, that's what the man said when his lawnmower was broken, you know.
What?
No Mo.
No Mo what?
Never mind your southern dialect. I forget the whole thing.
Did you hear about Mayor LaGuardia's new health insurance plan?
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. You know, if you take out a health insurance policy, you're protected in case of sickness.
How does it work?
Well, it's very simple. Now, suppose you have a sudden pain during the night. It's your appendix. You call the city hall, the mayor rushes to your house with rubber gloves on and removes your appendix instantly. During your convalescence, of course, you keep up the payments.
If you don't keep up your payments, what happens?
Well, the mayor suddenly appears at your house with two aldermen and a bottle of alcohol and puts your appendix back in again. And now that you're all together, it is a great, the health insurance is great, the mayor's homesick today trying it out himself. And now that you're all together again, Portland, let's drop around to Alan's Elk.
What is your question tonight?
Well, of course, the biggest news of the week was the OPA announcement that all meats, with the exception of beefsteaks and roasts, were taken off the ration list. And so our question tonight is, what is your reaction to this new OPA meat ruling?
Shall we go?
Well, as one bagpipe player said to the other bagpipe player, let's blow. You name it, we have it. You have it. Here we are back in Allen's Alley. Back in Allen's Alley, Portland.
Hello, Keith. What's cooking?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who are you?
The name is Pablo E. de Peaches.
I must have knocked on the wrong door.
Come on, what's on your mind, kid? Make hurry up. I happen to be very boozy.
Well, tell me, Mr. Eat the Pitches, how do you feel about this new meat ruling?
Meat to me is nothing for to worry about.
Why not?
In my restaurant, I constantly order one thing, boiled salmon.
I see.
Every day, three times a day, I'm ordering boiled salmon.
You must like boiled salmon.
I hate boiled salmon.
Well, then why do you eat it three times a day?
Who is eating it?
Well, if you don't eat the salmon, why do you order it?
With the boiled salmon is coming green beans.
You mean?
Green beans I like, green beans I eat. So long, kid.
Well, Mr. Eat the Peaches is all Greek to me. I wonder what could happen if I knocked here.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting me to Fanny Farmer?
No, not necessarily, Mrs. Nussbaum. Tell me, is the meat ruling affecting you?
To put it bluntly, you'll excuse it.
Uh-huh.
Meat, since a little girl, I am not touching.
Oh, you are allergic to meat?
No, something is happening.
Well, what happened, Mrs. Nussbaum?
When I am a little girl, a teensy weensy.
Uh-huh.
My mumsy is going to the movies. It is bank night.
Your mother went to the movies and you stayed home?
Mumsy is saying, darling, you are getting hungry in the icebox that pong.
Yes.
Mumsy is leaving and instantly I'm getting hungry.
Uh-huh.
From the icebox, I'm taking out the tongue.
Yes.
I'm lifting up the knife to cut a piece.
Yes.
The tongue is saying, stop.
The tongue spoke to you?
The tongue is saying, if you was a tongue and I was a little girl, would I eat you? Think it over.
The tongue said, think it over?
The tongue said, think it over. This was 20 years ago. Since I'm not touching meat.
You haven't touched meat for 20 years? Why?
I'm still thinking it over. Thank you.
That brings us to the little cobweb festoon house at the end of the alley.
You knock, stranger. I'll call your bluff. Falstaff, sir, will do his stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Openshaw, you have more poems tonight?
Indubitably. Have you heard, since my sweetheart had her face lifted, I call her my skin-up girl?
No.
Or, the little sardine said, beat me, daddy, and wiggled her gills at the Finn and Haddie?
No.
My brother was a gunner, but he made the general nervous, so they took my brother's gun away and put him in limited service?
Now, look, boy. Let's not horse around. If you've written an OPA meat poem, what is it called?
A fig to you, Mr. Chester Bowles.
A fig to you, Mr. How does it go?
A fig to you, Mr. Chester Bowles. With your meat surveys and your sausage poles, you can raise red points as high as you wish. You can ask blue points for oysters and fish. You can put back beef and lamb on your list. You can ration pig's feet if you insist. You can ban all kidneys and casseroles. A fig to you, Mr. Chester Bowles. When I say fig, it isn't a taunt. With your meat and points, you can do what you want. Meat may be a must to the hungry barbarian, but not to me. I am a vegetarian.
And as Falstaff starts munching a soybean, Maestro Goodman, aroused by the crunching, frantically summons Hilo Jack and the Dame, their song, San Fernando Valley.
I'm packing my grip, and I'm leaving Tuesday, 'cause I'm taking a trip, California way. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, I'll be making new friends, where the west begins and the sunset ends. 'Cause I've decided where yours truly should be, and it's the San Fernando Valley for me. I know that I'm safe and stating, she will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas made us a promise, he will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RST. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. San Fernando Valley, that's right up my alley. I'm gonna settle down in California, and just keep busy doing nothing all day. I'll be so happy to settle down and never roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home.
Thank you, Hilo Jack and the Dame. That was Just a Dash of You May Not Remember, a new song written by Mr. George Jessel for the motion picture show business, starring Joan Davis and George Murphy. This picture, incidentally...
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Portland.
Have I any more jokes to tell?
Well, not right now. Why, are you going out?
Yes. My sister's a wax. Her pinup boy is Victor Mature. She wants me to get his picture.
Oh, you mean Sinatra is through?
My sister likes muscles.
Oh, muscles. And Mature is her man. The hair on Mature's chest weighs more than Sinatra. You know where to find Vic Mature?
Yes. He's with the Coast Guard show, Tars and Spars, at the Strand.
And that's the break I've been waiting for, Portland.
What?
Well, now that Victor Mature is on the road with his Coast Guard show, Tars and Spars, it looks as though I may have to go to Hollywood. I talked with a big movie producer this week.
What producer?
George Jessel. You know, George Jessel has given up acting and singing. He's producing pictures for 20th Century Fox. Now, I read in the paper the other day that Georgie was in New York looking for actors, so I went over to see him.
What happened?
Well, I got over to the 20th Century Fox building. I found Mr. Jessel's office. There was a big platinum door with a diamond doorknob. I knocked, and a voice said...
Come in.
Georgie Jessel. Georgie, it's certainly good to see you again.
I'm sorry, old man, but I don't seem to place you.
Georgie, you know me.
I never forget a face. How I could forget such a puss is a mystery to me.
But, Georgie, I've known you for 20 years.
It must be a different Jessel.
There are two Jessels?
I am Jessel the producer.
Oh.
The other Jessel is an obscure vaudeville actor. He does something with a telephone. He sings off-key. A distant relative.
Oh, a distant relative. Well, I could swear you're the same, Jessel. The wilted gardenia, sen-sen on your breath. You were on my radio program last year.
How did we do?
We didn't get a laugh.
Oh, you're Fred Allen. Well, why didn't you say... My goodness.
But tell me, Georgie, how does it feel to be a big producer at 20th Century Fox?
Hollywood has cast its magic spell over me, Fred. Jessel the troubadour, the bon vivant, the Broadway playboy is dead.
You mean you've changed, Georgie?
I am through with nightlife, Fred.
You mean you sleep nights?
Yes, yes. When I roll over at 3 a.m. now, it is not in the gutter.
Well, you certainly look good. The last time I saw you, you were whiter than a seagull's chest.
Hmm. Again, Jack Benny's grandfather.
His
well,
grandfather
I'll tell you. Hollywood life certainly agrees with me, Fred.
Well, I can see that.
Oh, you should see my house out there. Two swimming pools.
Two swimming pools.
Yep, one is for my Hollywood friends. That's filled with spring water.
And the other pool?
That's for my Bronx friends. That's filled with seltzer.
Good.
In the deep end, I keep a few sturgeon, always.
Oh, in the swimming pool, a few sturgeon. You have one of those big houses, I suppose.
Well, not too big. It's like Radio City. It's only not so tall. In Hollywood, we'd call it a bungalow.
Oh, a bungalow. Is it a marble house?
Oh, no. Pink stucco with a lavender roof. It's the only house like it in Hollywood.
Pink stucco with a lavender roof.
The others are lavender stucco with pink roofs.
Oh, well, door stands out. Well, tell me, for the front doorbell, do you have a set of those chimes?
What chimes? In the vestibule, I have a chorus of 200 voices. When you ring my bell, they all sing Shostakovich's new symphony. The Spike Jones arrangement.
Oh, the lady.
And you wait a second, and the Skouras brothers let you in.
They come to the door in single file. Well, tell me, George, your grounds about the house. They're landscaped, of course.
Landscaped? Outside the house, I have 300 peacocks making like a hedge, you know.
300? Say, it must be wonderful living in Hollywood, Georgie.
Oh, you can't beat it, Fred. At night, when I come home after a hard day at the studio, I sit back in my big mink rocking chair. Two doves hold up my suspenders. And a small fawn is sitting by my side.
You need a small fawn there, do you?
Yes. When I'm reading a book, I come to the end of a page.
Yes.
The fawn presses his damp muzzle into my hand. The finger is wet. I turn the page.
Yeah, that is living, George.
Yes, yes. But in Hollywood, you've got to take the bitter with the sweet. Of course, there isn't any bitter, so you
sweet. Well, enough about Hollywood, Georgie. I read that you are here in town now casting for one of your new pictures.
That's right. I am looking for actors.
Well, frankly, that's why I'm here, Georgie. How about me? I can act.
I know, but I sort of had in mind a younger man.
Well, I'm still on the sunny side of 30.
Well, you've been on the sunny side too long, Fred. In fact, you're starting to peel a little right over here.
Now, look, Georgie, you must have some part I can play. What is your next picture?
Well, you see, Fred, the trend now is biographical pictures. Uh-huh. Darryl Zanuck has just finished The Life of Wilson. Uh-huh. It's a wonderful picture. Only last month, we released Buffalo Bill. All the big hits are stories of famous historical figures.
Oh, your picture is the life of a famous person, is it?
No. I'm going to make a series of pictures about the forgotten people in history.
Oh, what people?
Well, now here, every studio has made the life of Abraham Lincoln. They show Lincoln as a boy splitting rails.
That's right.
Yeah, but what about Halivar Bowditch?
Who was Halivar Bowditch?
Who was Halivar Bowditch? He was the axe sharpener who sharpened the axe for Lincoln so he could split the rails. Poor Halivar Bowditch is a forgotten man.
And you are making the life of this Halivar
Bowditch? Halivar Bowditch, yes. In 27 reels, too. Different reels will be playing in all the theaters in New York at the same time. It'll be Halivar Bowditch week.
I will watch out for it later in the season. But tell me, what other forgotten man pictures are you going to make, Georgie?
Well, I may do the story of Tom Tit Muckenfuss.
Tom Tit Muckenfuss?
Don't make me say it again, but this fella... this fella was a little boy who tied the tail on Benjamin Franklin's kite the night that Franklin discovered electricity.
Oh.
Then again, I may do the life of Sasha Zaltenstahl.
Who was Sasha Zaltonstall?
Who was Sasha Zaltonstall? At the Boston Tea Party, when the whole harbor was full of tea, Sasha Zaltonstall chucked in a lemon.
Oh. Well, you've certainly got some great pictures coming out, Georgie.
I feel that moviegoers are in for a treat. Really, I do.
Gosh, Georgie, in one of these pictures, there must be a part for me.
By golly, I just happened to think. I'm going to make a big Western picture.
About a forgotten man?
Yes, this is a true story of Buffalo Bill's nephew.
Buffalo Bill had a nephew? What was his name?
Moose Max.
Moose Max.
That's what I'm calling the picture, Moose Max.
And you say there's a part for me?
A part? Why, Fred, you'll be the star. You'll play Moose Max himself.
Well, what is the picture about, Georgie?
Well, the story tells how Moose Max, the fighting sheriff, captures Pancho Villa.
Sounds exciting.
Exciting, say. Listen, with you as Moose Max and me as Pancho Villa.
Oh, you're in the picture too,
Yeah, but who sees me?
Oh, well.
I'm Pancho Villa. I'm hiding all the time, you see? You hog the whole thing.
Well, I don't want to hog
now,
it.
Now, listen, Fred, we're not crazy at 20th Century Fox. We will make you a second Jennifer Jones.
Well, that sounds great, Georgie. Now, how does the picture start?
All right, the screen is black.
Yes?
Then one word is splashed on the screen. Moose.
Moose.
Then it's black again. Then another word. Max.
Max.
And then there's a fanfare.
Mr. George Jessel presents Moose Max.
Directed by P. Milford Jessel, George Jessel's uncle.
Photography by Pasquale Jessel, George Jessel's cousin.
Story by Donald Ogden Jessel, George Jessel's brother-in-law.
Gowns by Mrs. Jessel, George Jessel's mother.
And introducing a personality new to moving picture audiences. He's the star of Moose Max, Wolfgang Muff.
Now, wait a minute, George. George, you said I was the star of the picture. Who is this Wolfgang Muff?
This is you, Fred. This is you. Wolfgang Muff is your new screen name.
Well, Wolfgang Muff.
Now, look. We are launching you on a new career. You've got to change your name. You see, a new star is born.
Well, go ahead with the story, Georgie. I'm Moose Max. You're Pancho Villa. Now, what happened?
All right. Now, for 2 years, you've been on my trail. As the story opens, I'm hiding in a cave.
Uh-huh.
I think I have outwitted Moose Max. And I start talking to myself.
Safe in this cave. Pancho Villa, you are safe for Moose Max. Over the desert, over the hills, he has chased me, but now the chase is over. I have thrown Moose Max off the trail. Moose Max, that jackass, that skunk. You think Moose Max would catch the great Pancho Villa? But listen. Horses, hoofs. It is Moose Max. Quick, out of the back of the cave. They will never catch Pancho Villa. Adios, Moose Max.
Wait a minute. That seems to be wrong.
Now, wait. You say I'm the star of the picture. I didn't have a line in there.
Well, now, wait a minute. Fred, you are the whole scene. You're the whole scene.
I was?
Well, now, listen. Who was Pancho Villa talking about? Wilkie? He was talking about Moose Max.
Well, I'm Moose Max.
Well, of course. Well, if Moose Max didn't frighten Pancho Villa, he'd still be in the cave, wouldn't he? There wouldn't be any picture at all.
But, Georgie...
Now, look, don't be a schnook, will you, please? Because in the second scene, you're even bigger.
I'm bigger. In the first scene, I was a horse's hoof. Now I'm going to be even bigger in the... Are you in the next scene, too?
Yes, but I'm just a stooge. Now, you see, it's a year later. You've got me trapped. It's a dingy little border town in Mexico. Lupe Cuchillo, a cafe hostess,
uh-huh,
is hiding me in her hacienda. Yes. I, Pancho Villa, sit in the corner, brooding.
Pancho, why four in the corner all day brooding, you see?
Caramba. This is finished for Pancho Villa. Lupi, my little cucaracha. Which way to turn? Moose Max has Pancho caught. He is caught like a retardo in a trapaccio. Pancho Villa, whose life is roaming the plains with a song on his lips, No more to slap on the back the dancing muchachas. Pancho Villa is caught, surrounded.
Quiet, Pancho. Outside, I hear the noise.
That is Moose Max.
Quick, Pancho! Out the window!
Again, Pancho Villa escapes. Adios, Moose Max! Fred, you were great. I want to tell you, you were great.
Great?
Yes, those gunshots. What percussion. What bang-bangs. Listen, at Stalingrad, they never heard shots like that.
Now, look, Georgie, forget the guns. Let me shoot my mouth off a little, will you?
Fred, you don't seem to understand the movie technique.
What technique? I'm Moose Max and Wolfgang Muff, and neither one of me has said anything yet.
Now, look, Fred, remember all those Charles Lawton pictures? All through them, Lawton says practically nothing. And then at the end, he has one tremendous speech.
Oh, I have a speech.
Have you a speech? In this next scene, your speech at the end is your bid for dramatic fame.
Well, what happened?
Well, now, listen, you've tracked me down.
Yes?
Trying to get away, I get caught in the quicksand.
Quicksand.
In the quicksand.
Quicksand.
I realize the jig is up. As the scene opens, I am in the quicksand, lamenting my plight. Tamale mio. The long chase is over. Pancho Villa is a dead Docorocho. I am sinking in the quicksand. Oh, who is this coming? It is Moose Max. So, you are here, Moose Max. No! Don't tell me. I know you trapped Pancho, but look, Moose Max. You are in this quicksand too. 5 years you have chased Pancho Villa. No! Don't talk. Let first Pancho finish. Now, you are up to the waist in the quicksand. Pancho is taller than you. We are sinking, Moose Max. 5 years I have waited to hear you talk, Moose Max. The quicksand is up to my chest, or it is up to your nose, Moose Max. You are sinking. Speak, Moose Max.
Thank you.
is the Armed Forces Radio Service. Thank you.